The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Brought to you by Standard Life. Retirement specialists getting you ready for your second life.
I'm delighted to say we're joined by one of Ireland's finest singer-songwriters, Mick Flannery, who's fresh off the plane from Nashville. Mick, how are you today?
I'm okay. Tom, how are you doing?
I'm good. You're literally just back from Nashville, are you? How did that go?
It was good. Good. Some stereotypical Nashville stuff, like sitting in a room with songwriters trying to write hits.
I can't believe you've done that before, and I have to say I'm in awe when you tell me these things, because these are not people you know very well. You sit down opposite them and you have to try and come up with something, share this little bit of whatever's on your mind. It sounds a hard thing to do.
Yeah, it's not exactly the most comfortable for an introvert, for sure. I've gotten used to it, I suppose. I got lucky with the people I met the last time, or just now. It went well. It can be awful. I mean, it can be two people sitting and staring at each other, not connecting, terrible chemistry, nothing comes of it. You waste 3 or 4 hours of your life and you feel terrible afterwards. Or it can be good.
And if it is good, the thing is that it knocks you out of a routine or a songwriting kind of thing that you've done a lot of, and somebody else might just, you know, give you a fresh way of approaching it. So if it works, fantastic. You weren't actually gigging though, were you not?
I had one gig. I had a kind of, I don't know what you'd call it, like a kind of a multi-pronged charity type gig that was to do with Folk Alliance International and Culture Ireland and Old Boy Records. So it was like a showcase gig. I did a short set with some other singers. It was good. It was good fun.
Good stuff. So, but you weren't able to tour or do the kind of normal stuff, no?
No, I wasn't. I was only gone for 4 days, I think.
Okay.
I was back in time yesterday. My daughter was 1 yesterday, so I was back for that.
Delighted to hear. Fantastic. So I hope she had a fantastic birthday. We were just talking because I was at Spinal Tap 2 over a few days ago. And I have to say, I thought it was completely brilliant. Again, they've managed to maintain that, which is incredible. But a thing they've taken in the film is a kind of a more realistic view of life in music these days and life as a musician. So we were wondering, have you noticed changes over your career? You must be 20 years doing it now, Mick, are you?
Yeah, 20 years, I suppose, yeah.
How dramatically has it changed?
It changed nearly immediately after I was signed first to EMI at the time. EMI were then folded into Universal. But at the time when I signed to EMI, CDs were just about on their deathbed, and things were kind of, you know, kind of a rocky place. Like EMI themselves were kind of probably aware already that they were, you know, going to be bought up. I think there might be only 2 or 3 record companies nowadays that have kind of own every other record company. So it's become pretty homogenous in that world. And then streaming was on its way, so. Like at the time, it was downloads that were taking over, and you know that all those kind of good markups that were happening on the physical sales were kind of falling away. So the leaning on the touring was already beginning as the main kind of source of income, and then the 360 deals were coming in, which means the record company that signs you puts their hand into the pot of your live stuff and your live whatever you might sell at a live gig, like t-shirts or you know any merchandise you might have. So they, you know, the company would try to get a hold of any aspect of your revenue stream. There's no way that it has gotten easier for people.
No, it's hard to believe the extent of the change. One of the big things is the extent to which people are expected to promote themselves on social media, be constantly on Instagram posting videos, plugging their own gigs, plugging their own merchandise, plugging their own if they sell CDs or vinyl at the gigs, plugging all that. Is that something you get involved in?
No, I mean, not really. I mean, I haven't had one of those apps for a long time now. You know, thankfully enough, my manager is very kindly kind of doing it on my behalf. She asks me every now and again for a quote to do with some promotional material, and I provide something mundane, normal, and she just kind of, I assume she's disappointed and moves on. But I have met lots of people, especially younger people, that suffer from this kind of constant need to self-promote and make content on Instagram and whatever else. That I feel like it's just kind of sucking their creative, you know, whatever they have creatively available to them. Too much of it is being kind of wasted on this kind of stuff, you know.
Yeah, I don't know how they do it. I watch people who do it, and I don't know how they do it, how they find the time. It seems to me there's never a moment when they relax. If they're doing a gig and the sound check is finished, they're not just sitting in the dressing room waiting to go on stage. They're trying to think of content. It seems like it's just adding to... There's already a lot of pressure trying to come up with songs and do gigs.
Yeah. Like, for me, good songs come from a decent amount of a stupor, as in just sitting, staring, sitting in silence, driving. So you kind of need time to stew on some idea, you know, before it can form well in your mind, become and that kind of a something that represents you well and be a good song. Whereas nowadays it feels like the pressure is on to release music at a quicker rate as well, because the fear is that you will fall out of your audience,
yeah,
you know, mind if you don't, if you're not kind of constantly reminding them that you exist and that, yeah, this is what you do.
That seems to be the pressure. That absolutely seems to be the pressure on people. And if they don't keep up, and they create an expectation of content, and if they don't meet that expectation, people go elsewhere. It just seems like enormous pressure. The other thing people are talking about is that for a huge number of acts, and Spinal Tap are very funny about it, there needs to be kind of a second job going, that music is no longer a thing for the vast majority of people, that they can say, this is what I do, and it's the only thing I do. That people have to have alternative careers, a portfolio, as they refer to it at times. Have you seen that as well?
Well, I guess no. I've been lucky enough at the moment, at least, not to. Do you mean like a job that is like connected to the music industry?
Sometimes, I don't know if you saw a band called Field Music, who are a great band from Sunderland. They announced they were becoming a Doors covers band, and they're now booked out from until next September. But they were making the point that Fields, loads of great albums and loved by Prince, weren't making enough money. So, you know, they were just having to support themselves doing something else as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, I have noticed that happening a lot in, like, you know, musicians that I would know that have to supplement their, you know, their preferred work with, like, wedding band stuff.
Sure.
And cover work. Which I assume they don't mind as much as getting a job in a bar or something like that, because it's still connected to music. And
sure,
they can maybe pick or curate set lists of covers that they can still enjoy if they can retain control, which is probably not for everybody.
Yeah. A changing scene, it has to be said, Nick, and you're one of the lucky ones. I'm looking down at your tour dates, and Opera House Cork sold out, Roisin Dubh, and the live album coming out with Susan O'Neill as well.
Yeah, we myself and Susan had kind of racked up a good few recordings of gigs over the years, so we decided to kind of collate them and kind of put a live album out to kind of, you know, to celebrate this album, I guess, and use it as a promotional tool for this tour.
Yeah. Brilliant. Well, Celebrate the chemistry between the two of you and the gigs are sensational, so people will absolutely love that. Mick, thank you very much for joining us, and the best of luck now at your expanding family and your daughter's birthday yesterday. I hope she had a great day. Thanks very much for joining us, Mick. Lovely talking to you.
You too, Tom. Thank you.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.